Thank you very much. Thank you for that welcome. Please, sit down. It is very, very good to be here, and I see some faces I should remember and some faces I do remember that'll be attached to a name, and so I'm not going to embarrass myself to point those out. The question, Dan, about how much money, about the shekels, a lot. Okay, that's about the limit of my theology when it comes to that sort of thing. And we attend the same church as our senior pastor, Mark VB. VB stands for Von Blankensee. It's easy to say, it's another thing to spell. And so he's a great, great leader, he and his wife, Dee. And in fact, they send their greetings here tonight. And for those who haven't met Dee and I before, we are from Ulverston, but we used to attend this church. In fact, we joined what was Lindisfarne Christian Fellowship a long time ago before it became Hobart Christian Life Centre, which then became Energizer Church. And so there's quite a lot of history. In fact, Dave and I were talking this afternoon just how far back we do go. And I met Dave while I was courting Di, and that was back in the mid-80s. Anyone alive in the mid-80s? Who wasn't alive in the mid-80s and just a star in the sky? Okay, a few. And then Di grew up with Dave on the northwest. And so we attend church in Devonport, and then we also live in Ulverston. We had 12 years down here in Hobart, and then 12 months in Lonnie, and now we're along the northwest coast. And we've been there a long time. Since 2010. There we go, whatever the length of time that is. What's that? That'd be 8 years. Thank you, sir. Yes, 8 years. We're heading for 10. We've got no intention of moving just yet. And so we're here with our twins, Abby and Brooklyn, and then our 19-year-old daughter. She's got her own life, Keely, and so she wasn't able to make it. Was she invited? Did she know? Does she know that we're down here? She was camping. Oh, well, she'll find out. Yes, put it on Facebook. Couple of things to let you know about us. We've been married 30 years this year, and very, very pleased about that. I'm not really sure how we're going to beat a cruise that we went on last year. That was for our 29th, and a significant number for Di ending in zero. That's all I'm going to say. You can figure out the rest. And so for our 30th, we've got a few things being talked about, but not sure. Currently... I'm a family support worker with a company called Glenhaven Family Care, which is on the northwest coast. I've been there about 6 years, and my role is to support families. And Di has just taken on a new role as an in-home carer, and so really enjoying that. The twins are still at school, and Keely's studying and trying to figure out the rest. That's what happens when you have older children or legal adults in your house, and you have to negotiate about a whole range of things. Some parents, I'm sure, will know about that. Yeah. With tonight, I was talking to Dave, and there's a theme, if you like, being launched tonight, and it's called "You're Invited," and it's a great core phrase that's used all around. You're invited to my house. You're invited here. You're invited there. And Jesus said it, but perhaps not with those two words. He would often say the word "come." And there are lots and lots of phrases that Jesus used with that word. Let the little children come unto me. All those who are weary and burdened, come unto me. And there are lots and lots of phrases. And so those two things have been put together tonight in regard to what we're looking at tonight. You're invited by Jesus, and he wants you to come. And the word I'm going to add to that phrase is come expectantly. That's what I want you to catch tonight. I want you to come expectantly. If I was to ask you why you came tonight, rhetorical question, just think about it. Your answer would determine how tonight goes for you. If you came purely because of a whole range of reasons other than with expectation, well, you're either going to be in for a surprise or, whatever. I love the way that Dan shared around urging us and encouraging us. And in fact, I think it was Lance who also said, let's step out our first step into 2018. And I want to encourage you tonight, as you're invited, by Jesus into a whole range of things this year, I want you to follow that by coming with expectancy. I shared with Abundant Life Church this morning. I was going for a drive out to Squeaking Point. I had a meeting there and I decided to have a conversation with the policeman. He just had flashing lights and I felt the urge to stop and I should have a conversation. Just a polite thing to do. And I wasn't expecting to be pulled over. I was fully expecting to get a speeding ticket, but I wasn't expecting a caution. Oh, I tell you. But then if I had got a speeding ticket, I was fully expecting a rather awkward conversation with a dear beloved when I got home. It's interesting how expectation can just up and down based around circumstances. When your friend or family member comes to church, I wonder what they are expecting. You've said to them, you're invited, why don't you come? And they come. And the phrase might be, well, I wasn't expecting that. I've had that said to me. But I wasn't expecting that. Wow. We had a nephew and niece come from Queensland and to our service in Devonport. They hadn't been in a church like ours. And he said to his mum, Di's sister, wow, we've come to a rock concert, mum. similar to what you guys provide here. Just up and alive and vibrant. He wasn't expecting that. And it changed his perspective of what he was coming to. Some other phrases that are often used. Well, what did you expect? If you speed and get caught, you'll get pulled over. What did you expect? A lady who's pregnant is often described as she's expecting. She's an expectant mother. Lots of ways that word can be used. When your friend comes to your house, when your friend comes to your school and they engage with you because you're a follower of Christ, or when they come to a service like this, I wonder what they are expecting. Here's a key. They're expecting how you reflect Jesus. And so I encourage you to have a think about how do I reflect Jesus? Because that's going to be the expectation of who Jesus is. If I reflect him well, if I reflect him greatly, if I reflect him with faith, well, they're going to be wondering a little bit more. And yet if I'm doing the opposite, well, they're looking forward to finding out about Christ, well, it'll drop down a fraction. Tonight I'm going to repeat that whole word about come expectant. What are you expecting in 2018? Good? Bad? Indifferent? Well, I'm expecting good. Mark, how can you say that? Why would you say that? Well, Psalm 119 verse 68 says this, talking about God, you are good and you do good. So I'm expecting good. Because he is good and out of who he does a whole range of things. And lots of things you can dive off as a speaker. You realize, and Dave would agree and Dan would agree, you have a thought, I could go over there, but I've got to stay here. Another thought just came, but I won't go over there. You're a human being, not a human doing. And God is who he is, and out of who he does a whole range of things. The Bible makes it quite clear, God is good. And out of that, he does good things. So my invitation by God to walk with him, it's going to be full of expectancy based on who he is. Followers of Jesus, our coming to him expectant is based on what we know about him. Why did the crowds throng around Jesus? Why did they turn up in their droves and in some places turn up in their thousands? Expectation. Or another word, faith. The two could be used together. The word expectation is not used a lot in the Bible. The word faith is. I just want to marry the two for the sake of tonight. But they did that because they were expecting something for themselves. And what happened is that they heard and saw it in somebody else. They heard and saw that someone had received a miracle. They heard and saw that they were fed. And there were 5,000 and there was a basket with 2 bits of fish and 3 bits of bread. And yet they fed everybody. Wow, I'm going to the next one. And I'm expecting something to happen to me. So your expectation impacts on others. on the opposite, religiosity or a religious spirit, it cramps or smothers expectation. Ever think about it? Because it's an attitude or a mindset that thinks it knows best or knows it all. Consider the religious leaders in Jesus' time. Consider the scribes and the Pharisees. They had very little expectation of who Jesus or what Jesus could do. Why? Because they only saw him as a carpenter. Jesus is just a carpenter's son. What level of education Jesus had, I don't know, but they weren't expecting much from him. And yet, they were really against him because the expectations of the people far outweighed what they could ever deliver. Jesus brought something new, something fresh, life-giving, life-changing, and it was free. That's why people thronged around him, because it changed something inside of them, because they had been following a religious system for a long time that perhaps didn't do a lot for them, and all of a sudden Jesus arrived and spoke and did a whole range of things, and their expectation began to lift. Hey, he actually touched me. Hey, he actually did this for my friend. I actually saw that little girl rise from the dead. I followed a funeral train out, and the widow of Nain, well, I know that lady, and Jesus raised her son from the dead. Hey, did you see that? I'm expectant. That's what expectation does. The religious leaders, the scribes, the Pharisees weren't expecting to be shut down when dealing with the woman caught in adultery. They weren't expecting that. Nor was the woman who caught in adultery expecting to get out of there alive. She was expecting to be stoned. The prodigal son was not expecting the welcome that he got. But neither was the other brother expecting the welcome that the other brother got. Perspective. Totally different. Expectations totally different. And yet the father said to both sons, I love you. I don't think Satan was expecting Jesus to rise from the dead. There's no scriptural basis for that. I'm just putting it out there. Us preachers do that. It's called liberty. I wonder whether Satan thought he'd actually won when Jesus was placed in the tomb and the stone was rolled over. That's it. I got it. But he was sorely surprised. I want to show you a biblical basis for coming to Jesus expectant by answering three questions. Question number one, why should we come to Jesus expectant? I'm telling you that you're invited. Jesus says, come to me, and I'm telling you to do so with a level of expectancy. But why? Because Jesus responds to faith. Jesus responds to your expectation. Hebrews 11:6, it won't be on screen, but it says, it is impossible to please God without faith. And those who come to him must believe that he is, and out of that, we need to seek him diligently. When you do something diligently, you're looking for a result. You're looking for an outcome. And that drives your energy. It drives your expectation. If you're seeking after God, you're seeking after God for a reason, and that lifts your energy level. It lifts your fervency. It lifts your desire to read and to seek and understand, because you do believe that he is, and that he does reward those who diligently seek him. I've said this already. Others are impacted by your expectation. Your testimony, your God story of what's happened in your life can produce faith in another person. Turning your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8. It'll be on screen, but for those who don't have a Bible, that's for your benefit. But in Matthew 8, there's a story here, and it reads this way. Matthew chapter 8, and I'm going to read from verse 5. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him. The centurion was a Roman soldier who looked after 100 soldiers. And he was pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. What was that? Well, we call it faith, but it's also an expectancy. Notice how the centurion came. He was pleading, and yet he still had an expectancy about what was going to happen. There was a humility in that guy's attitude towards Christ. How should we come to Jesus? Knowing that we've been invited? With expectancy, but then also with a level of humility. And then it goes on to say, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. To another, I say, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith or expectancy, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Talking about those outside Israel, which is us. We're a fulfillment of that verse. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm looking forward to that because of what Jesus achieved. And then he has a red hot go at all the people who didn't quite catch and lived under a different religious system. Verse 12. But to the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, as you have had faith, as you have come to me with a level of expectancy, let it be done to you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Why should we come to Jesus expectant? Because that's how Jesus operates. Why didn't Jesus do much in his own town? The Bible says it's because they didn't have much faith in him. Couldn't do much. Let's look at question number two. You still with me? When should we come to Jesus expectant? Well, it's very easy. Anytime. Every time. All the time. There's no particular, don't come today, I'm not in the office. Don't come tomorrow, I've run out of power, I need to recharge. You're only going to come to me on these particular days, at this particular time, because I'm hovering over Australia. Tomorrow, I'm in Europe, and then the next day, I'm in the US, so tomorrow is Australia. Okay, we got it? And there's a waiting time, because I'm starting in Queensland first. And then I'll go down the East Coast, got to pray for the Northern Territory, because that's where I go last. I just do the loop. Aren't you pleased he doesn't operate like that? I tell you, if you take a sidestep for a moment, God in heaven is right now speaking to someone in Japanese. At the same time, you're being encouraged by me through the word in Australia. At the same time, he's listening to a prayer by a widow in Peru. It's true. We can come to Jesus anytime, anywhere, with expectancy because he's so much bigger than our human frailties and our minds which are locked to time and space. Anytime, every time, all the time, Jesus responds to your faith. I want you to catch this. I'm urging you. In fact, I'm pleading with you, Energizer Church. Don't allow yourselves to become a whatever church. Getting used to the meaningful, the beautiful, the intimate presence of Jesus. When Dave is on stage, when the worship team are here, when you've been welcomed at the door, or when you're in a connect group, cell group, life group, or when you're having coffee with people and you're ministering, don't allow a whatever spirit to drop over you. How'd you go today at church? Oh, whatever. Because that'll quench straight away expectancy. That'll quench, it'll smother what Jesus wants to do in you through the faith that you are extending to him. Don't do it. Don't allow a whatever spirit to drop over you, because it's so prevalent in modern society. You have it. I'm a bit of a sports fanatic, and so I'm intrigued by what coaches have said over the years. And for those who follow AFL, there was a famous coach called David Parkin, played for Hawthorn, coached a number of different teams. And he wrote an article and he said this. He said, coaching today's generation of players is so hard because you can't do what we did in the old days of how we coached. Because you give them a red hot serve and they just walk away, whatever. And that absolutely astounded me. And I haven't actually seen it, but I imagine it's so true. And so I want to encourage you. You have been invited by Jesus himself. He wants you to come with faith, expectancy, a hope, a joy, a vibrancy. And I'm human like you. Sometimes you get up on a Monday and or you're on a Friday and you're at work. And so that's where the rubber hits the road, because it's just not here on a Sunday night or on a Sunday morning where it's easy at times to up and about 7 days a week. But if we can practice that spiritual muscle of connection, because we've been invited by the person who died for us on the cross and gave us a living spirit, who through him we can do amazing things. Keep practicing the muscle. The more you practice a muscle in the natural, the stronger it will become. Do the same in the spiritual, and your level of expectancy will flourish as a result. Still with me? Luke chapter 8. Let's turn there. This is a scripture just to highlight question number two. When should we come to Jesus expectant? Luke chapter 8 and verse 42. It says this. As Jesus was on his way, and it was during the time where he met Jairus, and Jairus said, "Can you come to my house? My daughter is sick." And on the way, this happened. The crowds almost crushed him. And there was a woman who'd been subject to bleeding for 12 years. But no one could heal her. In another translation, it says that she'd been to physicians, doctors, and she'd used up all her money. She'd run out of resource. No one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched him by the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. And when they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. Don't you figure that out? Anyone could have touched you. Aren't you paying attention?" And Jesus said, "Somebody touched me. I know that power has come out of me." Let's pause there for a moment. When you connect with God with faith and expectancy, power comes. Grace comes. Forgiveness comes. Healing comes. Affection comes. Connection comes. Provision comes. A helping hand comes. If the Bible says it, I believe it. Jesus didn't know who touched him. How is that possible? Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told him why she touched him and how she'd been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith, your expectation has healed you. Go in peace." Here's the thought that I want you to catch. There were people bumping up against Jesus. It says there in this translation, they almost crushed him. But for all the people that touched him, they didn't do so with expectancy. One person did. She came up from behind and touched the corner of his cloak. And yet there were people jostling and bumping him, but they were there for a whole range of other reasons, and they weren't engaging something. And yet that lady touched Jesus by the corner of his cloak with a level of expectancy, and the bleeding stopped. And then, just to highlight verse point one, her testimony in the presence of everybody, it says, she told everybody how she was healed. That's what expectancy does. She had an invitation. Someone told her, hey, listen, Jesus is coming down the road. Why don't you come today? She found out about it. She heard about it. She jostled into the crowd, touched him with something that you have given by the Holy Spirit. And everybody heard about it. Power left him. He recognized it because she engaged him. The best way to engage Jesus, that's deliberately, that's intentionally. That's because I know who Jesus is, not just because of what he does, but who he is. I better hurry. When was the last time there was a miracle in your life? Or you heard about a miracle, or you saw it happen, or to put it in a religious context, when was the last time there was a miracle here? Whatever the answer is, that miracle happened because expectancy was there. Prayers being answered, that's a miracle. It engaged with faith. It engaged with something that you used to respond to Jesus' invitation. You are invited, so why not come? But I want you to come a particular way. Just don't come like the crowd. Come with something that you have that will draw something out of me that can fill you. Third question. What helps us come to Jesus expectant? The worship team can tell you. They know. What helps us come to Jesus expectant? One word starts with W, the other word starts with P. It's called praise and worship. That helps you come with expectation. Because what it does, it realigns our thoughts. What it does, it draws our attention to somebody who can do something incredible and amazing. Or we are just acknowledging him. And as we do that, as we draw our attention, as we realign ourselves, whether it be literally while we are singing, or whether we are listening, or whether we are meditating, or whether we are just pondering. Praise and worship is so much more than just singing. It's a lifestyle. As we do that, that's how best we can find what Jesus can give us. There's another passage. I've run out of time, but in Matthew 15, there's a story of a woman who was not an Israelite, and she called out to Jesus, and Jesus said to her, listen, I'm not coming to you, I'm coming to the children of Israel. I don't give bread to dogs. And this lady said, yeah, but the crumbs of the table will feed those underneath. And Jesus said, what incredible faith. She had come knowing her circumstances, knowing she may not have got a look in, and yet she had a level of expectation. And the prayer that she asked for was answered. It says in the New King James that she worshipped Jesus. In the NIV, it says she knelt at his feet. The woman who was healed from the flow of blood after 12 years, it said that she knelt. There's a humility that needs to happen inside of us. You see, expectation is not entitlement. I expect you, God, to do all these things because Mark Rennie said you're going to give it. What is James 4:6 says? He pushes away the proud, but embraces the humble. Paraphrase. So allow humility to be part and parcel of our connection with him. Because it's the humble that God can operate through best. Because if I'm full of myself, well, I don't need God. Well, I'm not going to be looking at God because I don't need him, because I've got it all together. As you can tell, 54, bald and good looking. I tell you, my wife and children are so blessed. Did someone say whatever? I'm sure you thought it. I heard it too. I tell you, it's going to be a long ride back to Alverson. You're catching the bus that comes tomorrow. God can't work where there's pride, so he resists pride. But he embraces, he engages with those who are humble. How can we come expectant? Do so with a humility knowing that God is almighty and yet he loves us in such a way. When? Anytime. Anywhere. Why? Because what happens in your life is meant to happen in someone else's. So what you have experienced in your church life, what you have experienced in your personal walk with Jesus, is just not for you. You're a conduit. It's to come from God, through me, into somebody else. So what you are expectant for is not just meant to sit in here. It's actually meant to flow through somebody else, just as the woman who was healed from the flow of blood told everybody who was there what Jesus did. Who knows? Scripture does not record what happened to everybody because they heard and they saw. And yet there are a whole bunch of everybodies in your circle, in your life. As the team join me, I want to encourage you. I want to urge you not to allow a whatever spirit to sit over this church, over your life personally, and realize that you have been invited and Jesus wants you to come, but to be expectant. Because what you are expectant for is actually for somebody else. Well, whatever that is. Father, I pray and ask right now that you would undertake that you would brood over this group of people called Energizer Church. Those who are here, those who could not be here, those who are on holidays, from the youngest to the oldest, regardless of gender, regardless of background, your heart for them is the same. And you have invited each and every one, and you have said, through your Son, come. And we do so with expectancy. We do so with a great sense of gratitude and thankfulness. We didn't deserve it, and yet you loved us so much that you sent your Son. And as we enter into 2018, we have so much to look forward, as Pastor Dan was talking about earlier, and as Lance encouraged us to step out into 2018. Lord, thank you. Thank you. If we were to consider why, there will be so many things. The conversations would be endless because I remember this. I'm thankful to God because of what God did for me yesterday. I'm so thankful for what God healed me from last year. I'm so thankful that God restored a friendship. I'm so thankful that he provided that answer. I now have work. I thank you so much. And there'd be so many things that we can recall. I encourage you, church. Say yes to the invitation and come. And Lord, thank you for what you have done. Thank you for what you are doing. And thank you for what you will do through this faith-filled group of people here at Bellerive. There are thousands of people, some who may have never heard the name of Jesus, and that's what we're here for, Lord. So, Father, I ask for your blessing. I ask for your enabling. In Jesus' name, amen.